Oh, that one wasn't even on the record, huh?
That's for them.
That was for the live audience.
Yeah.
Are we live? Well, we are live.
We've been live.
Yeah, we've been live. The link. Okay. Yeah. I'm still trying to pull it. My phone is acting really, really slow. It's like trying to connect to your Wi-Fi, but it has a number 6 next to it, so I don't know what that means.
What?
Yeah. So it's like it's your Wi-Fi, but it's not your Wi-Fi.
Hmm.
I don't know. So it's going slow for me.
That's what she said.
All right, the great Austin Bash. How are you doing?
You know what? Whether you're a manager or assistant manager, management is hard.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize how bulletproof you had to be. You got to take so many for the team.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to a nice Saturday off after 3 Saturdays in a row. And going down to South Houston, get me a little raspa, maybe get shot at. Go to a diecast little convention dealy, not a convention, but like a pop-up shop where people are going to be selling Hot Wheels and Funkos and other shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And was looking forward to it until I found out today that one of my coworkers had an emergency.
Needed
this Saturday off because he was working this Saturday. And the conversation was, hey, are you going out of town this Saturday? Because I know you travel a lot. And he said, see, man, my girl. And that was when I paused the conversation right there. I'm like, take it. I'll work on Saturday.
So you're working Saturday.
You don't even got to finish the sentence, man. You're good. I'll take care of you.
Okay.
And he just got promoted to a branch manager. He's taking over a branch nearby. So next week is going to be his last week. So mm-hmm. I was going to have him transfer to a new place with all kinds of things. Going on with his girl. I was like, I got you, man. Don't worry about it.
All right.
So,
all right.
More overtime gives me an excuse to drink tonight after you leave, and tomorrow after I get home from work, and Saturday after I get out of the building and I have a beer in the parking lot. But,
not in the car. In the parking lot.
In the parking lot. I won't even wait that long. I might have it in the fridge in the branch, which I've done before, and crack it open as soon as I walk out the door.
That's a great visual.
Yeah, very nice. Other than that, I'm good.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I have the volume up on here a little bit. All right. Well, then,
I am ready.
On that
whenever
note,
you are.
Live from the Landing Strip in Houston, Texas, it's the 424th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in, guys. If you're watching us live and in Technicolor, log into your YouTube account. That way you could chat along with us in the live chat. I'll see you here on the old handy-dandy smartphone, and I'll see what you say, and I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show. So feel free to say hi, ask us questions, fact check us, talk shit, whatever.
We need that on a shirt.
We do need that on a shirt.
Yeah.
Aaron, get on that, Aaron. Yeah.
If you're not watching us live.
Aaron, not E-R-I-N. Yeah.
If you're not watching us live.
Somebody just put in the chat, Abel! And I don't know who it is. This is somebody with numbers. 9482 DMG. 9,482 damage. That's a lot of damage depending on the game that you're playing.
Yes, that is a whole lot of damage.
That is a lot of damage. I don't know who the fuck you are, but thank you for recognizing me. I need a little boost to the ego this week. I do. Oh, it's the commish. What's up, Dougie? Dougie, dude, you gotta put a name on there, man. Like,
no, you don't. The suspense is better this way.
Yeah, I guess. What's up, Dougie?
Has he been teaching you?
You teaching me the Dougie?
Yeah. Do you know how?
I think it goes like that, right?
That's what the Dougie is?
No. I don't know. Is that the Dougie? Well, quit messing with the camera.
God, OCD.
It's fine.
Tall and skinny. Yeah, she's fine.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dingy.
We're about to get bloody.
Oh, really? Why are we going to get bloody?
Aunt Flo's in town. Let's get into it.
Oh, shit.
Blood and Guts. Dynamite.
Yes.
Last week. Not last night. Last week.
Last week. Yes.
Give me a high from that episode of Dynamite.
the first quarter, first half of the Blood and Guts match.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you're going straight to the main event match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Defend yourself.
I thought it was really cool. When they were going in one-on-one, it was obviously, you know, who's going to be last with the Ibushi and stuff. So I was really enjoying seeing some of the wrestlers in their wrestling in this format. You know, I know it's Blood and Guts. I know eventually we're going to get to the Blood and Guts. But before we got there, I was really enjoying what I was seeing. All right? Yeah. That's all I got.
You know what?
For the positives.
Oh, so if we're talking just the positives for Blood and Guts, that's the only positive you have?
From the whole episode?
No. Yeah.
You're going to need to catch me up on maybe the whole episode. Okay. But can you give me a positive from that episode of Dynamite? Dynamite, what, 2 weeks ago? Yeah. That was 2 weeks ago, right? Dynamite, yeah. 2 weeks ago.
Well, a week ago.
Hector! What's up, Hector?
Yo!
Biggest pythons in the business, brother. Yeah, look at that.
Got it's all that blue chew, baby.
Yeah,
chew it and do it.
Yeah. I would say he's got that back knee from the steroids, but I didn't know he had back knee on the front.
My tits are coming out a lot better than yours in that shirt.
Oh, that's true. Look at this. Nice. Yeah.
Double A's there.
Yeah, no, my Arn Andersons.
The finals of the Owen Hart Cup. I mean, not the Owen Hart Cup, the Blind Tag Eliminator Tournament.
Okay.
MJF and Adam Cole.
Baby. That was that night.
Sammy
okay.
Guevara. You're right. And fucking.
You're right. You're right.
Daniel Garcia.
Yeah.
I think the idea of the youngins proving themselves outside of the Appreciation Society for Jericho, I think it did its job. They didn't win the tournament, but they were in the finals, and they put up a damn good fight. I'd say match the week candidate for AEW. The story was good throughout the whole thing.
That's fair.
The fucking... You're going to have the last hour of your show be a goddamn horror movie, so you got to have something to let you up in the first half. Yeah, so the let's try to be WWE and do a dance bit.
That was pretty funny.
It was actually pretty funny.
It was cute.
Because this whole bromance of the century with MJF and Adam Cole, well, the summer of MJF and Adam Cole is breaking themselves out of each other's shell. So watching MJF be the protagonist and actually begin the dance off was not something I was expecting. Adam Cole being a white man and have no rhythm, that I expected. So he was god awful.
All right, that's fair.
Guevara and Garcia, I actually see the chemistry in those two. They should be an actual full-fledged team going forward.
Think so?
Yeah, I think they did very well together.
Okay.
MJF doing a damn good suicide dive for his first ever suicide. Almost landed on his 2 feet.
Yeah,
and he's just being like, what the fuck just happened?
Did I do this?
Yeah. They're egging it on. They're turning up the cheese to like 11. We're in Milwaukee now. That's the way it is.
I agree. I really enjoyed that match. And I do enjoy, as you put it, the bromance of MJF and Adam Cole. As much as I enjoy it and I think it's funny, I'm not buying it for 1 second. I'm just waiting for one of them to turn on the other. And right now, I got my money on Adam Cole turning on MJF.
I've been doing this for so long, I can see it coming, so I'm gonna stab before I get stabbed.
Yeah, and I think it's not... I think they're both playing each other the entire time, right? I think that's the story there. They're both playing each other, but who's gonna get to the... Who's gonna beat who to the punch first on the backstab kind of thing, right? I don't think it's gonna be one of those where it's like... We're going to pretend to like each other, and then eventually we're going to actually like each other. I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's we're going to have the dramatic irony of always knowing that they're always going to not like each other, but they're pretending for their own sake, and then eventually that backstab will come. But I'm enjoying the antics. Seeing a side of MJF that we may not normally see, which we saw for like a cup of coffee whenever... Was it whenever he first got the title or something? Or what? MJF was like a babyface for like a week. I don't... Like, it was a few months ago. Was it when he came back?
He got cheered in Chicago when he was the mask guy. That lasted about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
But he was a babyface when he cut that promo to Tony about threatening to quit or whatever, because he was better than all the ex-WWE guys. He has moments where people just tend to like him because he's a guy that you want to cheer for.
Dougie changed his name in there. Thank you, Dougie. Hector says the build-up to the team signature move.
Yeah,
that was funny too.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Double clothesline.
The double clothesline.
What if they're swerving us and they actually beat FTR for the tag titles?
Bro.
You're saying, I know you're expecting the turn to happen, but in essence, does that mean you're saying that you don't want this to go longer? Do you want more of the alternate universe where we cheer MJF?
This is a
at the expense of our individual soul.
You know, I think it would be kind of interesting if Better Than You Bebe wins the gold. Now that's going to prolong the Cold War, so to speak, between MJF and Adam Cole, who are pretending to like each other just so that they could defend these tag team belts and keep the belts for as long as they can.
Or it gives them a reason to stay friends regardless, even if they really
maybe
end up liking each other.
Yeah.
You know? And again, that goes back to the scheduling. You can have FTR win the belts back in Wembley, and then the next week it all out the title match between the two, which MJF already said, win, lose, or draw. I know I'm this means to you. I'm gonna give you a title shot out of friendship, out of
which
respect.
I want to see what a match like that looks like if they're still
code of
trying
honor.
To be friends,
yeah.
trying to be friends, but have a very respectable competition. Holy shit, that's gonna be so good.
Especially like think about it. Cole and MJF won the tournament.
Yeah.
Cole had the belt in his hand.
Yeah, he did.
And he says he was giving it to MJF.
Yeah, but he was.
So what if we want to pour some kerosene on this, MJF and Cole win the belts, and MJF takes both the tag belts with him.
And he runs around with three actual straps.
Who else is running around with three straps?
Your tribal chief.
Exactly.
Your tribal chief. Dougie says, keep improving on your Dougie dance, Abel. I'm impressed by your progress.
Thank you.
Hector says, let's be honest. They're probably learning how to do it from Jericho. They don't want to listen to any of the old timers except Jericho in that locker room, apparently.
Quitter where quitters do. He is probably the best looking shape he's been in a long time.
Ooh.
Jericho.
Oh.
He's been putting in work.
Yeah, sure.
Got rid of the bag under his eyes. Got the washboard thing going on again.
Yeah.
It's funny to say it because we're supposed to boo MJF and he can be one of the biggest heels in the company. He doesn't have to break that much of a sweat to do it. But ever since Jericho had that press conference scrum after one of the pay-per-views last year, he's like, sooner or later, MJF has to be a babyface because people just want to cheer him. They hate him so much that at some point they're going to just start cheering him because they like him.
Yeah.
And this is kind of that alternate universe where this is what it would look like if MJF was a fucking babyface. Not anti-hero. Babyface. There is a difference between the two.
Have we ever had a Jewish world champ that was a super babyface that everybody loved?
I don't think we had a Jewish world champ at all. I don't think. No? Hector could check the facts on there. He's smarter than we are. Let alone... this is new territory, at least, in a while.
And you know what? It might be a new demographic that wrestling hasn't touched yet.
The Jews?
Yeah.
If it works, it works.
Jericho is one that did the best friend angle in the past. Yeah, you're right, Hector.
And stabbed Y2AJ. We got that, too, and he was the one that murdered that. Trying to think of another positive from that Blood and Guts episode because there was a lot that went on there.
What was that the finals of the Owen Hart tournaments?
Was that
the same night?
That was the week before. If you want to take a detour, we could talk about the week before because we need to finish a conversation we started the last time we recorded.
Oh, okay.
Because you were still shell-shocked at the fact that you could have Omega Osprey twice on our match of the year list.
Mm-hmm.
I reckoned that the tag match weeks ago between FTR and Bullet Club Gold, where Bullet Club earned the tag match, was a better match. Now, all that is under there, because the 2 out of 3 falls that happened that night of the Owen Hart finals between FTR and Bullet Club Gold, I'm willing to say that's a match of the year candidate for AEW now. That shit was fire.
That second fall was so dramatic. And it hooked me both ways. Yeah. I thought we were going to have, oh my God, 2-0. And then, oh no, we're going to go 1-1.
Of course.
Did we? No, what? Oh, okay, it is one. Holy shit.
I might agree with you.
At least for AEW.
I might agree with you.
If we're comparing apples to apples, the first Ospreay Omega match, to me, edges out the second one.
Even though that's still on our list for New Japan.
For New Japan. The match that earned the number one contender between Bullet Club Gold and FTR, I felt it was comparable for different reasons, but as good as Forbidden Door. And then this 2 out of 3 falls. Yeah. That did it. That sealed it for me. You know what, man? I heard this on another podcast because I didn't know this existed, because I don't know about wrestling from way, way, way back in the day. Fuck, man. Give me 3 out of 5 falls, 90 minutes. I will watch that, because I was watching that match, and it's weird because I didn't have this feeling when I watched FTR versus the Briscoes when they did the 2 out of 3 falls. Mm-hmm. This match... Dude, I was invested from the opening bell,
yeah.
And not once did I look at the clock and be like, "What time is it?" Like, I was just like, "Oh, we're going! Funny. Oh, we're going! Oh, we're going!" And then, like,
Yeah.
I signed up to Sling, so now I can actually watch it without having to download evil internet. So I'm like cocked to the side, watching the picture in picture, ignoring the toothpaste and the pizza commercials. Like, I'm actually watching this. And they're going, and God damn, it was good. It was it was really good.
Hector says, "I don't know. There's some really good G1 matches happening." Yeah. That's for Japan. Yeah. We're talking about AEW.
Yeah.
AEW match of the year. This could be on there for AEW match of the year. That being said, you said something in your little tirade there that made me go, time. "Oh, yeah, about time."
Go for it.
You were saying that you weren't looking at the clock. I was, but this is still a positive. Here's what happened. Me and Porsche, we were sitting there. We're like, man, this first fall is going kind of long. God, this second fall is going kind of long. And I said this. I was like, wouldn't it be something if you had 2 out of 3 falls, but you made it explicit, because these are championship matches, that each one of these falls is a 60-minute time limit?
I thought the match in general was 60-minute time limit.
But yeah. I know, but I was theory crafting here, right? Yeah,
armchair booking.
Yeah. I was like, you know, technically, this is basically 3 matches went into 3
hours long.
Yeah, it's like, what would ever happen if somebody had 2 out of 3 falls and it went an hour, almost an hour, 59 minutes, and then 60. Damn, 2 out of 3 falls ending in a draw because of time limit? That'd be insane, and that'd be like... 3 hours. No way that'll ever fucking happen. Yeah. But wow. But
then guess what? Rampage is everything you missed from last week.
I know, right? But then what happened there at the end of the third fall? They're like, hey, we're coming up on the time limit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That was
fun. Yeah.
They're actually... Oh, shit. So while I was wrong on the time, saying each one was 60...
Yeah.
They were realistically doing it with each one being damn near 30.
Yeah.
So I was... That's longer than an Iron Man match, man. An Iron Man match is 1 hour. Yeah. Now, they only wound up going an hour when you put it all together, but still, that's a
25 minutes for the first fall. I think it was 20 for the second fall, and you had about 14 minutes for that last fall. Yeah. That's when you start seeing.
Yeah.
And they were already cruising. That's what business was
picking up.
Yeah. Business was already consistent.
Yeah. So I was very impressed at the length, at the length of the match. And it was weird that I commentated that, before it happened, and I was like,
5 minutes remaining, 5 minutes. And yeah. they made it very clear on telly and in the audience. And you could hear the audience be like, what the fuck?
And I was like, motherfucker, they're actually going to do a time limit draw on this? Because the only time you ever say 5 minutes remaining is when you're going to do a draw.
Go a distance.
Or, you know, usually you're going to a draw. Yeah. But they did it, which was a nice little swerve too, you know?
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not that they didn't. When they got there, basically, FTR still... I liked it. Yeah. I guess that's all I'm trying to say.
The way and they did it, and I'm seeing more and more in wrestling in the last couple of months where...
Dude, they have the stamina to go that hard and that fast for that long. I'm sure you do, Dougie.
I know I do. I like that I'm seeing this a lot more in wrestling where... If they say 15 minutes left or 10 minutes left or 5 minutes left, they're not always ending in draws. But they're keeping you compelled to the very end. This happened with Match of the Week candidate. I'm sure Hector's going to jump on this in a minute. Ospreay and Phantasmo. They're limiting the matches to 20 minutes, not 30, like old G1 climaxes.
Okay.
So it got to like 15 and Phantasmo started to try to outsmart Okada because he's trying to get this win. And then like the 19th minute, Okada beats Phantasmo, but gave him respect for actually hanging with the former champ or whatever. I'm liking the fact that just because they're saying 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 60 seconds to go, that doesn't necessarily mean, I'm just assuming it's a draw. There's more, just like the time where the Cruiserweight class is like, man, no, they prefaced that there was going to be a time limit
for
and
every
no one
match.
Ever, and no one ever.
No one even went there.
No one even
and
came
I think
close.
That should be the default for. All of wrestling, because there's this nasty habit of any time that you hear about a time limit thing, you know that they're going to a draw or the distance. But more often than not, they're going to a draw. Yeah. It kind of gives away the ending. But they wouldn't give away the ending if they did that for every single match. Yeah. If every single non-title bout was 20 minutes and every single title bout was 30 or 45 or 60 and they made it like implicit... In every match, and in every match, you said 10 minutes, 5 minutes, then audiences would get used to it. Oh, yeah, 10 minutes, there's whatever. Right? And then the time when it's like 5 minutes, 30 seconds. Oh, shit. Oh. And then the wrestlers should probably like Mario when you're close to running out of time.
The music speeds up.
Like, oh shit, now the wrestlers have to hurry up because, oh my God, I gotta win. You know, they gotta sell it.
I would go one step further. There's one thing that MLW does that I like, and they put a clock at the for every single match. As soon as the bell rings, 1, 2, 3, and it takes the time.
Yeah.
And so you can have that where in championship matches, at least, you can put the time limit because you know it's relevant. There's a 60-minute time limit or 30-minute time limit. And you can do the Mario thing where it's 5 minutes, it changes color.
Yeah.
From like silver to like red, and then after with a minute to go, that red is starting to flash, and you can actually see, oh shit, there's some sense of time involved in here.
Yeah,
you know, I think that was a great touch that they announced the time so that you knew that I was lost like, man, this is good. Give me another 10 minutes. Give me another 15 minutes. I was gonna go like this, and my TV screen, cause I wanted 5 more.
Yeah,
but
yeah, all right. Cool.
So, 1,
oh, shit.
2, 3.
Okay.
AEW took them 6 months. 7 months. They're on the board. FTR versus Bullet Club Gold, 2 out of 3 falls, is officially a candidate on our Match of the Year list. I'll write this down when we're
so
done.
So this is the
AEW's entry.
Contribution.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now we got 3 matches.
We were debating whether or not we wanted to put on Ospreay Omega 2, but we never did.
No.
That slot's been vacant for 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm going back in our notes just to confirm this because I didn't want to just run off my mouth. But yeah, my guess was right. So far, Ospreay and Omega 1. From Wrestle Kingdom.
From New Japan.
That's New Japan's contribution.
Yeah.
That was January 4th. WWE's contribution so far. Bianca Belair versus Io Sky from Backlash.
All right. Yeah.
That's on our match of the year list. And now the third entrant is this. FTR versus Bullet Club Gold. 2 out of 3 falls for the AEW tag strong.
Okay.
That's on our list.
And how... Remind me again this year. How are we counting Impact and ROH? Are they under the rest?
ROH is under AEW.
Impact?
Impact is under Indies.
Under the rest. Everything else is under the rest. Do we have anything under the rest?
Not so far.
No? Okay. All right. No. All right.
Since we're on the topic, I believe the right woman won with Nightingale winning the Owen Hart Cup.
Yes. Because there's going to be plenty of people that say that her winning the, what was it called? The one that she beat from Mercedes Moné.
New Japan Strong.
Yeah, the Strong.
Her U.S. television belt.
Yeah, her saying that the Strong title was a fluke or whatever because of what happened with Mercedes.
Yeah.
Give her the fucking Owen Hart.
Yeah.
Cool, I'm down with that. I want to give her everything.
I want to make an effort if I can find it. Apparently, one of the best women's matches in wrestling this year happened with Nightingale and Athena. Co-main eventing Death Before Dishonor from Ring of Honor that happened last weekend, which was a fucking train wreck.
The show, because
the only match they had announced up to that point, about like a week and a half before the pay-per-view, was Claudio defending the Ring of Honor title against Mark Briscoe. Then he hurt his knee. He's out indefinitely. I don't know when he's coming back. And so they had no match. And with Blood and Guts that happened, they wound up making something happen. So Cesaro and Pac main evented for the Ring of Honor belt. But apparently the women stole the show. I've heard nothing but raving reviews about Athena retaining over Nightingale.
Okay.
But Nightingale's becoming, if this was December, I would say Willow Nightingale might be...
Woman of the Year?
Woman of the Year. Because she's...
Okay.
She's shooting up.
She is.
She's going nowhere but up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's had a good year of her, a coming out year for her almost.
Yeah. What do you think about Ricky Starks? You saw how that match with your boy CM Punk ended. How would you have gone with it?
I absolutely love Pretty Ricky. God, I love that kid, man. I love Ricky Starks. But I don't want to see him as a heel. So not now, not yet.
It's weird.
I get it that he can do heel work.
Which has been what he's mostly been doing his entire AEW run.
I don't want to see that now.
So here's what I would have suggested if I had the pencil. That
Will Nightingale versus Julia was a good match, says
Yeah, Hector. It was. It was very good.
Julia,
yeah. It's good. New Japan, the G1 Climax Hector is going to be very bittersweet because regardless of how good the best match is in that tournament, I doubt it'll be able to top Omega Ospreay. And that's just a whole cold fact of life. It's going to be hard topping Ospreay Omega 1 for New Japan. They could have covered that up very easily. And the first promo Ricky Starks would have made was, hey, it's for the Owen Hart tournament. I looked at my bracelet and said, what would Owen do? That's it. You could have kept him a babyface with that as a tribute to Owen in Owen's hometown. And nobody would have batted an eye.
Okay.
The fact that you're kind of trying to make an effort to actually make Ricky a heel against a guy that half of the audience wants to boo because they have an allegiance to the Elite. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're going to get the result that they're expecting. Hopefully they can roll with whatever they do get and make the best of it.
You're not going to get the result that you're expecting. And it's not like, either he's going to be a really good babyface or a really good heel or a really good tweener. You're letting the air completely out of the bag with him. So I was hoping that he was, like, on the precipice of, like, getting, like, this huge push and just fucking rocketing off to the moon. Kind of like how LA Knight is. You know, LA Knight was kind of like on the bubble at some point. And then boom! And I'm like, okay, we're almost here with Ricky Starks. At some point, Ricky Starks is going, boom! But he's like... now I don't think it's going to happen for Ricky. And it sucks because
we got time. It's only been, a week?
Yeah. I mean, there's still heat on that burner. You know, the tea kettle isn't whistling yet, but
it's not getting cold.
Yeah. Well, it could be getting cold. This heel turn could make it cold. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, you saw the promo with Starks on Collision. Did you watch the main event with Starks?
No. I don't think so.
Damn, so it might be getting cold for you.
What happened? Remind me. I thought I watched this. Maybe I didn't.
It was fun. It was a pretty solid match. The beginning of the match was Ricky Starks and Christian arguing outside of the ring, standing on the apron, who was going to start the match. Neither one of them wanted to get in. Which I thought was very good.
I did not see that. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then it ended deja vu. Roll up on CM Punk, hand on the rope, 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. Ricky Starks wins again.
Nice.
So it was good. This is kind of a Mark answer, but I will give anything with Punk a shot. So if you're going to try to make Ricky Starks a star, whether it's a heel or a babyface, and CM Punk is the measuring stick, fuck it. I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
You know? It's even though the outcome with Ricky isn't what I'm expecting, I'm digging this like Neo Cena, where half the crowd's cheering him, half the crowd's booing him. Dude, that fucking promo in the beginning is a prime example of why I'm giving this a shot. Because Punk walked out, was no music.
Tell me if I'm telling lies promo?
Last Saturday.
Okay.
He walked out, no music. He as soon as he heard Ricky Stark say his name, he walked out there to boos. Some cheers, smattering of cheers, but a lot of boos. They want to cheer Ricky. And you're going to put Ricky against CM Punk. A lot of the crowd's going to prefer boo, cheer Ricky and boo Punk.
Yeah.
And the promo was good. Punk understood. Again, not telling lies. Like, I've done it before. I might have done the same thing in your shoes. Owen Hart's prestigious is a big deal. I wanted to win it as bad as you did. And then somehow in the conversation, he thought it was over and Punk walked out of the ring. And Ricky Starks goes, this championship, the Owen Hart title, is more important than whatever it is in that empty bag of yours. Which was the red bag.
Yeah.
And then Punk walked back in. Walked back in from the ramp. And by the time he stepped foot in that ring, everyone was chanting CM Punk's name. So if you tell the story right, or if you hook enough of that audience with what you're selling, they're going to buy it sooner or later. And before the main event match was announced in that first segment, everyone was chanting for CM Punk and Darby Allin. Ricky was still getting some cheers. Everyone shat on Christian. And the promo Christian cut, too. He was looking at CM Punk, and he's like, man, it's very disappointing to see someone carry around a belt they never won.
Goddamn, I should have seen this. This is Collision?
Yes.
What the fuck? How have I not watched this?
We've had this conversation. Oh. You've been watching. We've been having this conversation internally off the record. And
yeah.
We're mostly in agreement that Collision is the AEW show that we shouldn't miss. That's a prime example.
This was this past?
Yeah, this past Saturday. It was good. It was damn good.
I haven't watched that. I haven't watched it.
I'm sure it's on your DVR.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Go back and fiddle.
Yeah. Hector says Stark should have said, I didn't want to be a nugget. And then he also says, what did you think of the death of Jungle Boy? I like the concept of a heel Jungle Boy. I am not sure if I'm okay with the execution. Mostly,
it's Zachary. The music is not the issue. I think
it's the music.
I think it's saccharine. He's not saccharine. Pure. Yeah, he's not pure. The promo, I don't believe him being an asshole heel. I don't believe it when he's saying it. I feel like it's most of his face work also, where it just felt like an actor trying to act out a character instead of Jack Perry being an asshole. Which I'm sure he could easily be. He strutted out there with his dad's old leather jacket from Iron 210.
I don't think he's an asshole in real life.
But if the character that you're playing is screwing out a second generation kid out of a title that's an outlaw that's not recognized, you need to be an asshole. You need to have some kind of grit to your heelness. If you were and now you to be a heel for this degree of level of babyface, you have to be that degree negative as a heel. And I don't think he's reached that heel. The music's not helping. But there's a lot more missing to elevate that, to balance this poppy of a babyface, this arrogant asshole abrasive of a heel. It's not level yet. He needs to do something. And the answer is not go back to Christian and Jungle Boy. There has to be something he does. Either he puts Taz in a hospital, killing the legends like freaking Jerry Lynn. I don't think that's good. For me, that's not gonna move.
Yeah, him beating up Jerry Lynn is not gonna. I'm like, I think that's mostly because I don't want to see Jerry Lynn.
they had me.
I don't want to see Jeremy Lynn in there.
They had me and they lost me. Jungle Boy's like, I had intentions of winning AEW gold, and it sure wasn't this. That's explicitly what he said in the promo. Because it's an outlaw title that isn't recognized by AEW.
I was
hoping
that he would piss on it or like throw it in the trash or something like that. That's what I was hoping.
I was hoping that he would disavow it and create a new belt. New title that's recognized by AEW. Another title. We have too many. If that's what it takes to make Jack Perry a heel.
I think he would have gotten so much heat if he desecrated the FTW title.
Yeah.
If he did something to it, you know, if he fucking Alundra blazed it, right? Said this title isn't worth shit. It's not anything like whatever.
Acknowledge like me as the FTW champion. I ain't ever wearing this crap ever.
Yeah, this ugly orange.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And really, just start getting under Taz's skin.
Yeah,
Taz and Hook. Yeah.
I'm giving it time because I wanted a Jungle Boy heel turn.
Pair Jack Perry with Anna Jay.
Yes.
He could pull off what Edge did with the Rated R Superstar in the beginning. Yeah, this fucking little pipsqueak bullshit little dude has this fucking smoking hot girlfriend. Fuck that guy. Yeah. You know what? That's what turned Sammy Guevara heel when he wasn't even trying to be a heel. It turned him heel because he just had a hot fucking girlfriend.
Yeah,
do that shit on purpose with Jungle Boy, with Anna Jay.
And after last night's Dynamite, her schedule's open.
Her schedule's clear. Apparently the JAS is starting to form some cracks and maybe go away. If that's the case, pair up Anna Jay with Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, Jack Perry.
Yeah.
But get rid of that music, man. Maybe do some sort of like menacing remix of the Beethoven, but not the straight up classical version of Beethoven.
I was gonna say go full Daniel Bryan and do in WWE. They did an electric guitar version of Flight of the Valkyries.
Okay,
why don't they do an electric guitar version of Beethoven's Fifth?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, cool. That's what I'm thinking. You need something to modernize
some edge.
You can't just play the classic.
It works. Pop babyface was pop heel needs to be some kind of like heavy drop D demeaning guitar accentuate the brashness of Hollywood Jack Perry.
You know what,
Beverly Hills Jack Perry.
You know what I would have thought would have been even better? That music that they're having fucking Konosuke Takeshita come out to.
That's not connect to Kirsten.
It is. Because he comes out to that too. It's Don Callis, but it's multiple.
It's multiple.
All it is. Like, shit, that would have worked better for fucking Jack Perry. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we come full
Arnold
circle.
Says he needs to have a rapping Japanese version. What's up, Arnold? A rapping Japanese version. Rapping Japanese verse in whose music? In Jungle Boy's music?
He's going Nakamura when they put the rap on his remix song. Blood and Guts. You gave me a positive.
Electric guitar version of 90210.
Played by Kitty.
Oh, Lord.
That's going to get a reaction.
Jesus Christ. This is turning into Melrose Place.
Just give me that Hispanic name at the end of that Melrose Place. When they showed all the characters, that was a Hispanic chick. Yanis or something? Oh, that's a long time ago. Yeah, don't get me started on Melrose Place.
Yeah.
Blood and Guts.
Yes.
A positive.
Yes.
The start.
Oh, so you're going with... Same thing I was saying.
Not necessarily. The one thing that I think AEW's dropped the ball on, I mentioned this before because this is classic old school wrestling. If you're building up a tag match or a six-man tag that's already scheduled for a date in the future, you can supplement or tell story in between the build to that match by having an individual from each of the sides wrestle. They haven't really done any of that. So watching...
An individual for each of... Wait, what size?
So look, you lost me. So you've got a pay-per-view in a month for WrestleMania, the Usos against the Dudleys.
Yeah.
So why not on an episode of Raw, give me Bubba Ray against Jimmy?
Okay, I see where
you see what I mean? Okay, we didn't get much of that at all building up to this. So when the first two guys in the ring were Cesaro and Omega, yeah, I wanted 30 minutes, not 5 minutes. And I wanted a wrestling match, not a fucking Pee-wee's Playhouse. That's probably the only positive I could give it.
Arnold says, blood and guts positive when it was over.
Thank you. Thank you for the transition.
And it was hepatitis B positive.
Negative. Before I take it over, give me your biggest negative from blood and guts. I'm going to get a water. You want another water?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I say that the negative started as soon as Mox showed up. When Mox showed up, I remembered, oh, yeah, this is a blood and guts match. And Mox started doing his blood and guts thing almost immediately.
Blood and guts, sponsored by Liquid Death.
Liquid Death, yes.
So you get to partake together. Oh, one, two.
Hell yeah.
Cheers, bro. Dink.
I could feel like an alcoholic without being one with Liquid Death.
Now, practicing my alcoholism for the weekend.
Yeah. So, yeah, once Mox showed up and then he started bringing out his toys almost immediately, I was like, bro, come on, man. You couldn't even go 10 minutes? Bruh. So I was already rolling my eyes at it. And I get it. It's blood and guts. Yeah, you're going to have it eventually. But goddamn, dude, he's like that dude that you take back home who already, no foreplay, no nothing. Zip, stick it in, he's done.
Done.
Like, bro, come on, man. Like, fucking whisper on it.
We've all had that moment when we were teens.
Nuzzle it a little bit. You know, pet it.
But it's so hairy. Where does it start?
That's why you figure it out. On this time.
We can't all be Indiana Jones.
Yeah, you know? Like, damn, dude, that's what you gotta do.
The only break I'll give that complaint is that there's people on AEW that bleed every fucking week.
Yeah, so and those people are Moxley.
So you have to elevate it to give the people something that they don't already always get. The biggest deal for me...
I like how Abel said, that dude that you take home. I didn't see somebody caught it.
The biggest problem with that match...
Oh, shit. Hector said that you should have came back into frame like Daniel Garcia.
He's making my point for me. My biggest problem with blood and guts was timing.
Okay.
Let's rewind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was new to me, the details. So watching Abdullah the Butcher's episode of The Dark Side of the Ring, I was kind of getting uncomfortable just anticipating the blood and guts match. So watching Moxley come in with a fork and stabbing everyone with the same fucking fork.
Yep.
No.
After Kota Ibushi just flew from the other side of the world.
No.
Do you remember Nick T. Vegan?
No.
You don't remember him? Okay.
No.
So, Nick T. Vegan is a sideshow and burlesque performer in Houston. He's the person that I did commentary with at DZW. Cool dude. Great guy. But like I said, he's a sideshow performer. So, he has a bed of nails. He showed me his bed of nails. His bed of nails, it's a gimmick, right? Yes, there's nails.
They're blunted.
They're blunted. And you lay on them, but they're close enough to where it's like, cool, you have enough support where if you were laying on one, it's piercing. Yeah. If you're laying on like 53, you're fine.
Yeah.
Right? So
there's a pain spread around where you're not fixated on one spot and it doesn't hurt.
Just like the same thing when you're taking a back bump. Yeah. You're taking a back bump. You spread it out across your body as much as you can so it absorbs the impact, right? Yeah. Same concept, except with metal spikes, right? So when I saw them take out a bed of nails, I was like, oh, no, way, yeah.
Are nails really that long? Those had to have been flatheads.
They were metal rods.
They were screwdrivers.
I don't know what it was. They were fucking metal rods. And it's like... Yeah. The only cool hardcore spot that I actually appreciated from the match was when Nick was above the cage and then poured the tacks while Pac and Cesaro were like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, I thought that was the only cool, like, hardcore element that happened. And I get it, you're gonna have hardcore elements in a blood and guts match. But bro, if you weren't bleeding, if you didn't have somebody bleeding on Impact, or excuse me, on Dynamite every week, I would have been like, okay, cool, this is the one time a year, and they don't need to go as far as they did with the stupid bullshit gimmicks. With the fork, the glass, the tacks, the other tacks, the bed of nails, the, oh, yeah, way! And the only way you beat Moxley is with a handcuff? You damn near killed each other in there, and you're protecting him by getting him beat by a handcuff? Really?
Let's rewind that a little more.
By the way, Kali Marshall, Mercedes Moné debuts it all in. Okay, thank you, Arnold.
They broke out the glass 15 minutes in. At one point, everyone had, by the time the match was over, everybody had been in that glass at least once.
Yep.
Was there any blood? Did anybody bleed? Did anybody get cut? If it's fake glass, why are you doing it? You want to get an actual reception from the audience? I was told this happened at the Ring of Honor show, Death Before Dishonor, last weekend.
Yeah.
Use fucking Lego. We all know what it's like to step on some fucking Lego. I've got some right here in this box. You see this box? Can you confirm to the audience at
home? Yes, those are
it's
Legos.
A Lego box with Lego in it. Yeah. I know that shit hurts when I step on one.
What is that? Strawberry what?
Oh, you want some? Here. Oh, yeah. Go with sugar.
What is this? Strawberry belts. Ooh.
If it's fake, then why are you doing it? My favorite hardcore spot in the match was fucking one of the bucks was laid out on a table that was set up in between the rings and Pat monkey barred and dropped ultimate coup de grace onto fucking
Nick.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like a ultimate next match.
Thought he rolled his ankle there for a second. Most of all the other spots, man, I'm not the biggest fan of hardcore wrestling, and this is probably going to be the hottest take I've had in a while. From 98 on, everyone is just trying to be Undertaker and Mankind. From Hell in a Cell. That's it. There isn't a lot of ingenuity now that there hasn't always been before fucking Terry Funk and Onita and FMW and all that shit. Those were watched by hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people. Over a million people ordered that Undertaker Mankind Hell in a Cell match where he fell off the cage, fell through the cage, got through thumbtacks. Everyone is trying to achieve that. Instead of being unique. And I feel like all these matches, I've had the complaint of steel cage matches, that in every steel cage match, somebody has to climb to the top, and instead of getting out, they actually jump from the top. Now I'm already getting fed up with these war game matches where there has to be that spot where one team's on one side, one team's on the other side, they're helping each other up, and it's like the wall of death in 3, 2, 1, and then it's every fucking match now. And it just loses a lot of its creativity for me, you know?
Arnold says, false advertisement. There was literally no guts. Hector says in response, you say that to Mox, he'll probably kill someone.
The day will come.
The day will come.
The day will come.
Damn, these are good. Where'd you get these from?
Ross.
Ross?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, I understand that you're trying to do spots on top of the cage, so you've got boards or stuff so that you can actually do spots on it. If you're going to have stuff on top of the ring that's obstructing light, add some fucking LEDs on the ceiling so there aren't a lot of dark, dead patches where you can't see what the fuck is going on in the cage.
Okay.
Hire some kids from Full Sail. They've done enough War Games matches. They know how to fucking... There's two cameras on each side, and then there's one on the center so you can capture both the cameras at the same time. If you're not going to do picture-in-picture, at least try to keep up. Dude, I didn't even realize, because they never showed Moxley throwing in the towel when Wheeler Yuta was getting hung to death.
You're right. You're right.
There was a lot of timing issues, a lot of spots that were missed between the Golden Lovers with the Omega and Ibushi. Mm-hmm. It was dark in there, and there's cameramen in the ring, and you still can't catch spots that are happening that you should be watching.
I'm glad you mentioned Ibushi. Arnold said something very poignant in the live chat.
Oh, did he remind him of Fat Boy Arnold in high school, or what?
Oh, I got to scroll to find it. But he said, Where is it? Arnold, where did you say it?
I wonder if Ibushi got charged for two tickets on his flight over there from Japan, because he... I don't remember Ibushi being that chunky.
He says, if this was the first time ever watching Kota Ibushi, it would be a bad representation of his skill set.
Yeah.
I agree. Kota did not look good in this match. Mm-hmm. And not because, oh my god, he's fat now. Dude, he's still like... fucking an Adonis.
In the last 5 years of New Japan, name me all the hardcore matches Kota Ibushi wrestled in.
Zero.
Thank you. bad. And that's the other thing that killed it. War Games. Blood and guts. 5 men on one side. 5 men on the other. Cheering their team on while one person goes in one at a time until everybody's in it. That vibe was missing because the ultimate build wasn't blood and guts. The ultimate build was the debut of Kota Ibushi, who pulled a fucking Jeff Hardy. Hardy! Oh my god, Hardy's in Dynamite! What's he doing? He's gonna run to save his brother. Nah, he's gotta dance. Elite's getting outnumbered. Holy fuck, the Golden Sun, Kota Ibushi! A 45-second Michael Bay video. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Pillsbury Doughboy. Ah, Buchike Umaine walking down the fucking ring when his best friend's getting anal raped by 4 other guys in chains and thumbtacks and fake glass on a bed of nails. Horrible.
Hector said, don't forget the tax shoe.
Horrible. And the cherry on top. What was the bigger fuck up? A Domino's commercial airing in picture-in-picture while Jericho's getting bladed with a pizza cutter? Or a fucking advertisement to donate to the Red Cross during a blood and guts fucking match?
The pizza cutter. Here's why. I could see the Red Cross actually paying for that slot.
Hey, without knowing what they're getting into.
No, with knowing.
Really?
Yeah. Hey. If you're like these guys and you lost a lot of blood, maybe it'd be a good time to donate some blood to give to that fucker because he's gonna need it.
It's a free it's a free HPV test.
Yes.
God damn.
The bad timing. The blood and guts match reminded me of the main event match of All In. Bad match timing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. I will say this. The boomerang it back around. I hated the match.
Yeah.
But I will give it one more positive.
Okay.
It has become such an event that it should be its own pay-per-view. Because
fair.
When you have a 2 out of 3 fall 60 minutes, you can have a picture-in-picture and know what's happening if you're watching. If you have blood and guts, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5, in 2 rings that is not well lit, in picture-in-picture, what the fuck is going on? That's a match where you need your undivided attention for the whole fucking hour. And it was the attendance at the Prudential Center in New Jersey rivaled the attendance of WWE Raws and pay-per-views that have happened there. So it is definitely worthy of having its own pay-per-view. So you have that whole hour. So you have the undivided attention. And it's on your own pay-per-view, on your own broadcast, where you can experiment picture-in-picture or having both the rings shown for multiple minutes at a time. So you can actually see what's going on. Because, yeah, that was a lot. it was a lot.
Fair.
You know? Whew, blood and guts, fuck. And that kind of highlighted to me the conversation we had where I'm pretty much solidified. Collision is the A show for AEW.
All right.
I'm digging me Collision. Even fucking...
Saturday.
Even when it's fucking Ian Riccaboni instead of Kevin Kelly, because Kevin Kelly's in Japan right now, commentating for New Japan and getting off on Ribera Steaks.
Hi.
Riccaboni's not that bad with McGinnis. Two-man commentary, they let things breathe, they know when to shut the fuck up and let things happen in the ring. You know, they don't get too overly excited. They don't, like, talk like the Micro Machines, man, and run out of breath 45 seconds in. It's not overcrowded. It feels like it's just right.
All right.
Yeah. The start of the show, they set the tone for what the end of the show is going to be like, and you just want to watch everything until you get to the end of the show, and it's fucking good.
Yeah. Arnold says it gave off WCW World War III vibes with the not knowing what's going on.
Yeah,
I agree. It's just a mess.
Because there's a lot of spots where in that match, and especially when everybody was in there, where they're just doing things for the sake of doing things because they are assuming that they're not on camera. And only the people that are on camera, because they're about to do certain high spots, are being filmed that everyone else can just like lay out and be under the ring, pretend to be hurt, or just whiff on punches or just do something, you know. Laying out the match was also horrible because you had, like, man, what is it, 3 minutes in, the crowd was like, use this ring, use this ring, because War Games here in Houston, for example, the undercard matches, they each swapped the ring. One match was one ring, one match was the other, and then War Games, they put everybody in and packed them all in both the rings, and they spread it off equally. Especially, and that's the other part of the War Games environment where you wouldn't have had that issue in the first Blood and Guts they aired on Dynamite where it was... it wasn't Jericho Appreciation Society. It was what was the team? Jericho's first team?
God damn, I can't remember.
Jericho's team against the AEW team. And they were on each side, so they're using both their rings equally. And the fans are there. If they're not getting action, at least they're getting distracted by, look, I'm like 5 feet away from fucking Chris Jericho. Yo, it's whatever. Yeah, that layout was terrible. Terrible for that match. Hopefully they can improve upon it.
Hector asks, when do you think CM Punk will bring in a main event title to Collision? I mean, that's what's in the bag, right? So really the question is, when's he going to take whatever's in the bag out of the bag?
It doesn't matter if SmackDown is better than Raw. WWE as a whole needs one world championship.
All right.
And if you can't be better than WWE, you have to be different from WWE.
Yeah.
So you can't be better than WWE when one of your world champions is in a comedy tag team with his number one contender.
Okay.
And then on Collision, the wrestling show, you have a wrestler that never lost his title. That he can't show it off because he legally isn't the champion, or the record book says he's not the champion because he forfeited the title. He was never beaten for the title. Mm. I like where they're at today, that Punk is acknowledging that nobody beat him for the title, even though he's not wearing one, because this has flashbacks of when CM Punk won Money in the Bank in Chicago and left with the belt, and they made an interim. And as soon as the interim was introduced,
Del Rio.
It was Cena.
And then Del Rio got it off of Cena. That's why we wound up with a stupid-ass triple threat with them three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how Punk came back in because I left. I never got beat. This is my belt. So find a way to make it better or find a way to make it different. But just having the same belt, basically the only difference is the Burberry strap on MJF. The same looking belts on both shows, you're not going to be doing the brand overall any favors. You have to have just one person that, man, if the chatter backstage is to be believed, you have to have one guy that can fit in both locker rooms. And right now, MJF is going to be having a match. The tag title match we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
On Collision. He's been on Collision before. Mm-hmm. So he can handle being in both the locker room. So there's no reason why MJF could be the AEW champion and eventually cross paths with the unbeaten CM Punk.
Is Punk's camp, which I think now is just Punk and FTR, and I don't mean like on camera, I mean like the backstage politic bullshit, Punk. Is Punk's camp cool with MJF? Because we know Punk and the Elite, they're not cool. We know they're beefing. And a lot of it's with Hangman. Some of it's with the Bucks.
I'm assuming they're but not. He saw what Punk and MJF did before Punk left.
That's what I was going to say. Is MJF, is he the bridge between the two camps?
I wouldn't say he's a bridge, but he's a path between the two.
Okay. Well, same thing.
No, a bridge is a path. A bridge is built, made by a man, sturdy enough to handle weight. A dirt road is what MJF is. He's not a bridge.
Son of a bitch. Okay, fine.
Semantics, schmemantics.
Jackass.
Yeah. Anticipation level for FTR defending the tag titles against Better Than You, Bebe. On Collision this Saturday.
Nine.
Is the impending doom in your head that this is the night that the team breaks up? Is that why you're not at 10? Or what's keeping you from a 10?
I'm not at 10 because the story in my mind is not about these guys versus these guys. The story.
They tried to make that last night.
With a
they
pretty
tried
good,
to make it last
pretty
week.
Pretty good two dueling promos. Mm. I'm not going to lie. The promos between the two teams were pretty good.
MJF's impressions.
When MJF Ooh. Said you could take CM Punk's, jock strap out of your mouth?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Renee sells it too. Yeah. She's like, whoa. My husband don't talk like this. Yeah. Let me lean in a little.
Yeah, yeah. That was some good stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not the story.
The story is not the tag titles. The story is the bromance.
The bromance and will they, won't they? Are they going to break up, not break up? Who's stabbing
you
who in the back?
You talked me down to a 9.
Okay. Yeah. You were at it?
9.5.
Okay.
Yeah. 9.5 because, again, this feels like old school 2000s WWE where Raw is the entertaining show and the SmackDown is where you get to see actual wrestling.
Okay.
And this match on Dynamite would have probably given me 7 out of 10. This match on Collision, 9.5 out of 10. Because this is where the rest is going to be treated seriously. The commentary is not going to overload you. The commentary is going to tell you what you need to know before the match starts. So by the time the bell rings, you're in.
Okay.
So I'm excited for the match on Collision. I don't know what else is on Collision, but I know for a fact that's going to be the main.
All right.
Let's talk a little bit about the main reason why we're recording tonight. Okay. You and I.
Mm-hmm. And Scott.
I feel. And Scott.
Scott the Scott.
But you and I, because we've done this before.
Uh-huh.
Before Scott came into the picture. We need some alone time.
Oh, God. Do we now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. See, this is what I was talking about earlier about the nuzzling and the warming it up. You don't just rip the pants off and stick it.
I don't
right?
got to look for
yeah,
it.
I need to be romance.
I see it right this, now.
This is what I'm talking about. Give it to me, Daddy. Hey.
Hey. $5 a month to see what's happening under the table.
Hey. On our Patreon.
I still have fond memories of our road trip to Dallas for Night of Champions.
Yeah, you remember? I remember.
Oh, man.
Back when we were still trying to make the Jamaican Buzzsaw a nickname for Kofi Kingston, but it never stuck. We were the only idiots calling him that.
Yeah. David, Dono, and Clint.
Yep.
With you and I packing the Red Hatch and driving out to Dallas for a show. That was fucking fun. We went to the movies, I think, that weekend, too. I forgot what we saw.
We saw Wally.
Wally! My God, yeah.
We saw Wally in theaters. Yeah.
It's weird. That part's blurred out of my memory because the part that seared the most, besides the good seats I wound up finding, was was getting pulled over.
Yeah.
And not realizing that fucking Dono had Bam Bam in the car.
He did. And I was offering cookies to the officer. When he comes over.
To your side of the window. He's a passenger.
My side of the window. Chris is out of the car, behind the car. He comes up to me. Sir, do you know that it's illegal to have this tint on the car? I'm like, this isn't my car.
I don't even know stuff about cars. You still don't. And you work for a car company.
I don't know. Fuck, do you want some cookies? Why are you getting after me? It ain't my fucking car. I don't know. Fuck.
We drive off with a warning, by the way. And Donna was like, glad they didn't find the weed in the car. Like, you mother, what?
You mean not only did we have weed, we had a black man in the car. That's almost worse.
That's a double whammy. We're running it back.
We're running
you
it back.
You and I, my nephew, and Scott.
Oh, your nephew's coming.
Yes, the hell yeah. Four of us.
All right.
Cool. We're driving to Austin this weekend.
Yeah.
For NXT's Great American Bash.
Hell yeah.
This is the part of the show where I am pleasantly surprised to find that Abel has been keeping up with NXT the last 2 weeks at least. So he knows what he paid for when he ends up in Austin to watch this pay-per-view. So Abel, how much of NXT have you been watching?
Nothing.
God damn it, buddy! Going in blind, huh?
I'm going in blind.
Montrose
baby.
Special.
I don't know what the hell's going on in NXT right now, other than the Dominic stuff, because that was all over Facebook.
Yeah.
But that's all
Dominic
I know.
Is the new North American champion. Yeah. Another attempt at WWE from trying to get some of their filthy casuals that watch Raw and SmackDown.
Like me.
To watch NXT. Obviously, Exhibit A hasn't worked.
Yeah, it didn't work.
But it's getting a lot of attention, creating a lot of buzz. Obviously, with Dominic winning the belt.
Arnold says, "Yeah, y'all get to ruin the show for the kids in the front."
Jokes on you. We are the front. Yeah, we got row one, baby.
We did?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I got us some bitchin' seats.
For 30 bucks?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the first level, the bottom bowl, row one. We're like
four
not sections.
Ringside. Oh, row one. Not ringside. Oh, okay.
Oh, fuck no. I don't roll that good.
Okay.
But we got good seats.
Yeah.
You'll
be
pleasantly
surprised
when we get
so
there.
We could ruin the night for the kids down in the lower.
Down
the
lower, yeah.
Yeah, on the
we
floor.
We have to yell a little. Yeah, bit, yeah. In yeah. unison. But we'll get them.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll always do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What venue is this in?
HEB Center in the outskirts. It's called Cedar Park, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's you could tack on an extra 20-minute drive that would have normally been a 2.5-hour drive from here to Austin to get to Cedar Park.
Okay.
But we'll get to that in a little bit.
I didn't know Junior was coming. I'm happy that I get to see Junior.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Last Tuesday's episode would have probably been all you needed to watch to get caught up on the storylines and what you needed to know for the show.
Day before yesterday?
Yeah, day before yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well,
but you have it. It should be.
It should be on the DVR.
Worst case scenario, by tomorrow, should definitely be on Peacock. So
yeah.
You can watch it.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. And we're going to go through it right now.
All right.
There was a good segment. With Gable Steveson, he was going to announce his decision. Either he was going to wrestle for the Olympics in Paris in 2024 and become two-time U.S. Olympic gold medalist.
Okay.
Or he was going to go back to college, or he would have been a three-time NCAA wrestling champion for his weight class.
Okay.
And then Baron Corbin comes out and does the Baron Corbin promo, which has been pretty good the last couple of weeks. He's been on a pretty good roll.
Yeah.
And so at NXT Great American Bash, the debut of Gable Steveson against Baron Corbin.
So wait a second. You're telling me that this dude passed up going back to college or going to the Olympics to fight Baron Corbin?
Yes.
The fuck?
Storyline. He could still go to Paris. He could still be... He's training now. He's in the PC. That's the best place to train.
Or he could go to college. Motherfucker, you're playing with your future for Baron Corbin? Motherfucker, go to college, dude. Get your education.
Go to frat parties and get laid.
After.
Anticipation level for Gable Stevenson and Baron Corbin.
It's Baron Corbin. 4. It's Baron Corbin.
6. I've been reading a lot of reports on the internets that
Hector says bump kiss.
Stevenson hasn't been gravitating to it as quick as people would like. I believe Kurt Angle set the bar very fucking high. And apparently Gable Stevenson hasn't been progressing in training the way the trainers would like. With that being said, Baron Corbin has been a good leading hand. So I think Baron Corbin can walk Gable Stevenson along to a good match. How about a 6?
It's Baron Corbin!
Yeah.
What?
I've got Gable Stevenson winning.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are not selling me on this show.
Let me try again.
Okay.
Rewind. Roxanne Perez against Blair Davenport in a Weapons Wild match.
Hey, Porsche. Porsche is here. What?
Roxanne Perez
uh-huh.
and Blair Davenport
okay.
and their asses in a Weapons Wild match. Yes.
Who's Davenport?
The chick from NXT UK that was the person under the hoodie that was injuring all the girls. That was wiping out all the girls.
I didn't even know there was a person in a hoodie injuring people. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it was Blair Davenport.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
This is the problem when you go in blind.
All right.
Ass alone. Give me a number.
Well, I'm only familiar with one of them, and that one is itty bitty and a little underage. So
undercooked.
I'm not gonna get too excited for that. But
so if this match was in Mexico, what would you rate that ass?
Abel's pissing me off in this segment. not knowing anything, just knowing that Roxy is in there and she's going to be in Austin, so she's going to get a nice little home reception. I'll go with the 7.
7.
And I think that's being generous.
I would say that the Weapons Wild stipulation would drag me down a bit, but credit where credit's due, I'll say it. Match of the Week candidate, Cora Jade against fucking Dana Brooke.
Really?
In a kendo stick match.
All right.
The shit was good. It was the best I've ever seen fucking Dana Brooke. Her cat outfit with the one piece, like, you need to watch this.
Dana Brooke?
Yes. You need to watch this. But then the bell rang, and they actually did pretty good. And it's weird because it's those kind of matches where how much of it is selling and how much of it is they're getting their ass whooped.
Ha! Joke's on you, Arnold. He says this. Next week, Abel reviews Barbie and Oppenheimer without watching either movie. I've watched Barbie. And Barbie was really good. Barbie was really good.
So since you don't know about Roxy Perez and Blair Davenport,
mm-hmm.
the biggest high... and the biggest low from Barbie. We're going there now.
The biggest high was...
We're definitely going there
the
now.
The fourth wall breaks.
Yes.
Holy shit, the fourth wall breaks.
Wait, 30 seconds and she's pouring milk and this is all that happens?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Or like when they're like, the point that you're trying to make here is not good if you cast Margot Robbie.
Helen Mirren as the narrator was gold. Gold.
Biggest low? Hot take? Will Ferrell. I don't think Will Ferrell needed to be in the movie in that position that he's in. He did the same thing in the Lego movie.
Yeah.
He was more business.
He was the dad.
Yeah.
No, I was walking into this movie expecting the fourth wall break in the Lego movie, and we got this in spades.
I would have rather seen Steve Carell in that position.
I'd say Stephen Colbert.
Oh! Okay. Yeah.
Okay. How the Flaming Metro portrayed as like the most straightest guy. I would have loved to see Colbert play that.
No! No! Jonathan Ness! That's who...
I have no idea what a Jonathan
Ness is. He is the hair guy from Queer Eye. From the new Queer Eye. Jonathan okay. Ness.
Now I know who that
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Now ask me how I know that I know that who that is.
Oh, Arnold says, hey, shut up. I'm watching it next week.
You had a week, you casual.
We've been relatively spoiler-free, so it's fine. Yeah. No spoilers on that. But the fourth wall breaks are fucking crazy.
I am definitely getting a plaque for the front door of my apartment that says Mojo Dojo Casa House on it. I need that in my life.
Yes!
My next paycheck, I'm getting a shirt that Mattel was selling yes! these on their website.
Yes!
It's a tie-dye t-shirt that says, I am Ken Nuff.
Yes!
I'm getting one.
Yes!
I'm getting one.
Get it.
I can have my Metallica and Five Finger and Marvel, and I can have a day of the week where Ooh. I can wear my Barbie shit.
Hell yeah, dude. That's so hilarious. Oh my god.
I did the thing ass backwards though.
What'd you do?
Because.
Oh, you watched Barbie and
I then saw Barbie first on Saturday.
I still haven't seen Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer is a fucking trip, dude. It's hard to gain sympathy for the guy that created the fucking atom bomb.
Yeah.
But fuck, did I feel bad for the guy. Because you could see throughout the movie, he's already regretting crossing that bridge and now looking what it looks like at the other side once you've crossed it. It's all in flames and it pictures this very dour prediction of what the end of the world would look like. And it's, oh God, Robert Downey steals the show there.
Oh yeah.
There's at least a dozen popular actors and I even forgot who some of them are. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't all be Dua Lipa and Barbie, but Oppenheimer was, dude, this is another example, like the 2 out of 3 falls, I was not looking at the clock. That did not feel like 3 hours, 10 minutes. Yeah. It was fucking good. I wanted 20 more.
Yeah.
Like, I got on my phone every 20, 30 minutes and started writing because I just, my juices started flowing. Mm. And that's the shit that gets me. When it inspires me to write, it's something fucking good. Hell Oppenheimer is a goddamn, it's a History Channel lesson you're not ready for. But it's fucking good.
Did it have original narration music by Lizzo?
No.
Then fuck it.
No. I haven't watched all of his movies, but I can clearly say this is the best Christopher Nolan movie. As a matter of fact, besides our road trip, about 2 weeks afterwards or 3 weeks afterwards, I'll be in Dallas for a pair of Metallica shows. There's one theater in San Antonio and one theater in Dallas that is showing the movie on 70mm IMAX film.
Really?
The tickets have been sold out for the first 2.5 weeks in both theaters. Wow. I've already confirmed with Scott, we're going to try to watch this movie in the huge, the way it was meant to be, nice. The way Nolan shot it. I want to watch it again because I even feel like there's stuff I missed. I was prepping for this movie and then an hour in, I was like, fuck, babe, I can't make it. I got to go pee. But the bathroom was right across the hall. I was in and out in 60 seconds. I washed my hands like a hobo. I just watched, ran it under water, just ran.
Hector.
Dude, Oppenheimer's fucking good.
Hector says this, wait, you mean to tell me that one of the Eternals didn't create it?
You'll love the first 5 minutes then if you're asking that question.
Arnold says, hey, don't ruin the ending for Oppenheimer.
We all die. Everybody dies.
And then the Terminator comes back from the future.
I'm waiting for Terminator 8. Let's kill Einstein. Because without Einstein, we wouldn't have Oppenheimer. Without Oppenheimer, we wouldn't have Skynet. Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
Or Jesus Christ. Woo! God damn. Triple threat, North American title, Dom Dom, Wesley, Mustafa Ali.
That tickles my pickle a little bit. Going in blind just off of the names.
And what you've seen on Facebook.
8.5.
I'm at an 8.5 also.
Okay.
I think this is, I'm glad this isn't a ladder match because watching Dom's matches ever since he became the U.S. champ, he needs more ring work. Because there's been a big lull between the time that Dom and Ray were tagging each other and then when Dom and Ray were feuding, and then to where we're at now. There's a gap in the middle where I don't think he's gotten enough reps in the ring, and it shows in some of these matches.
Okay.
So I'm glad it's not a ladder match. He can use direction from Mustafa yeah. and fucking Wes Lee.
Okay.
And he's probably the biggest one of all three of them, so he's going to be the bumper. One. He's going to be the bumper for everyone pinballing off of him. So I'm excited for it, actually. That might be the show stealer for me, 8.5.
Okay.
I've got Dominic retaining, and I see the rivalry between Wesley and Mustafa forking out on its own and doing something, I want to say, almost Gargano Ciampa like as far as the rivalry goes, because it's heating up between the two, and I'm digging what I'm seeing. Oh shit, what did Arnold say now?
Hector.
Oh shit, what did Hector say now?
Stupid question. Now that aliens have proven to be true, what wrestling match would you pick to introduce them to pro wrestling?
Kenny Omega and the Blow Up Doll.
This is completely normal.
Wait, no. We're talking aliens. There has to be Eddie Guerrero or Rey Mysterio because they jumped the wall a couple times across the river to get here. Aliens, right?
Aliens.
So, yeah. Anyone with a mask on one end. Fuck, I don't know. If there's anyone that doesn't look like a human, it has to be Brock Lesnar. So Lesnar against someone.
I would say Lesnar versus Batista, but apparently that's never happened before.
Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville from WrestleMania 38.
And also, would that mean
Jericho versus Orange Cassidy Mimosa Mayhem?
Oh, Jesus. Also, would that mean Mexicans aren't aliens anymore or just illegal?
Mexicans are our neighbors down below. And the UFOs, they're aliens, our neighbors from above.
No, you know what match I would show them? That one that I don't know who the fuck it is, but I see it every so often pop up on fucking YouTube and Reddit and Facebook.
The dude that wrestled the tent?
No. The one where there's the it's obviously a lucha match, and there's a little luchadorito that looked like a fucking monkey. And they bop him on the ring apron, and he's just on the ring apron going like this. And the other luchador just does a baseball slide into him, and he goes flying off the apron into another wrestler. Whatever match that was, that's what they...
Okay, you've lowered the bar, so I'm going to bury it. Hornswoggle versus El Torito, we LC.
Yes! Porsche went in a different direction, and I think she's the smartest one out of all of us.
The women's match where the chick pulled the period tampon out of
her. Oh, God, no, not that one. No, but she says this. Anything Chris Statlander.
Duh. I see what she's doing.
Duh.
Old Chris Statlander.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. From the Andromeda Galaxy.
We can get worse. Yeah. We have to get worse. There has to be worse matches than WLC. Fuck. Brawl for All.
Mass Transit.
I don't want to scare the aliens away. I just met them. I have so many questions. How do you multiply? Would be my first question.
Well, see here.
How do you consummate?
Here. This is how we do it here on Earth. See, you get one giant Gonzalez, and you get one Undertaker. And this is how we make new humans.
They just go like and roll their eyes in the back of their head. Oh, Gallus, Mark Coffey, and Wolfgang against D'Angelo and Stax for the NXT Men's Tag Team Championship. Story's been going around that Gallus got Tony D'Angelo arrested, so Stax was the mini boss. Or, you know, and now Stax got him out of jail, and now this whole kerfuffle, and we're leading up to this. And this is the new thing. Like, now everybody likes Tony D'Angelo. Mamma mia, molto bene. That's a nice donut.
This sounds so fucking stupid.
That's meant for Raw.
Yeah.
Why is this not on SummerSlam?
I would have just said four because I don't know any of these people. But just off of your explanation alone, six.
Yeah, get practice because we're going to be doing this when we get... Either Scott or I will be at the other end going like this.
Of course, Arnold says anything Ahmed Johnson.
Seven, just for the ridiculousness.
Okay.
I think the Italians win the belts. I think Angelo and the family.
Sure.
Yeah. this is a good one. Tiffany Stratton, your women's champ.
Mm-hmm.
The little rookie, the little fireball, Thea Hale from Chase University.
Oh, God.
Rematch.
Okay.
Submission match.
Okay.
For the women's title.
The submission sorority match?
Sure. You rolled your eyes at submission match. What's the deal? You don't like know. You don't like Thea? You don't go, Hale, yeah?
No. The one time that I've seen Thea, I was just annoyed out of my mind.
Damn, white women.
I know, right? I'm gonna go with a five. Just because I don't like
you're just
Hale and Stratton and the whole gimmick and like
Stratton doesn't
it's
do
a
it
college
you.
And it's not and she's I don't I mean Tiffany's cool but the Hale no
seven and that's because I haven't been consistently watching NXT. However, I do have enough investment in both of them that I will make the effort to watch this match. I'm not going to get up and get merch or fucking go to the restroom. I want to watch this match legitimately.
Okay. Stratton's winning? Retaining?
I hate being the old man. He is so fucking short. And a lot of the new girls in NXT, they at least reach above the top rope. Like, she's very short. Like, I don't see
shorter
her...
Shorter than Katana Chance?
About as tall.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other chick is also petite, too. Chance's partner, which is another fumble. Why... Katie Catanzaro has popularity from American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
The fact that you're giving her a completely different name and disavowing the popularity that got her through the doors of the performance
center. Yeah, that's dumb.
That's a big... That's idiocy. Yeah, whatever her fucking name is, all three of them, they're so fucking tiny. I like the character of Thea Hale. She's got spunk. The whole Chase U story, if you've been watching it for the last year or year and a half, from a fucking joke to actually, I don't want to say making people, but it's got its charm. I actually like Chase U. If there's a shirt available, I might get it. So, but Thea as a champion, I don't know. That's going to be a bit of convincing. And this is... Tiffany Stratton's first actual pay-per-view as women's champion. I think she's going to keep it.
Hector says, do you like the fact that one of the NXT titles is being defended on the main roster? Really?
The women's tag champs. They lost it to Ronda and Shayna, no?
And that's being defended
and then on the they main roster and then somewhere? They lost it to...
I thought they had a unification match between the NXT Women's Tag Championship.
Oh, it was unified, huh?
Yeah, it was unified.
Well,
because it was the Witches versus...
Before you look at the phone, Dominic defended the title on SmackDown against Pete Dunne. That's probably what he's referencing.
Okay, that's
match was all right.
Okay.
Pete Dunne did all the work, and then Dom got the cheap win afterwards.
Arnold
I don't know
says,
how long it's going to last.
Arnold says Stratton is getting legit.
Yeah.
Hale is okay. Interesting that WWE basically stole the Chase U gimmick from the Alpha Academy.
Yeah. Okay. The idea of Alpha Academy, what they never did, all they is basically just a tag team. They actually fleshed out a story with Alpha Academy as the like theory, and what it ended up with was Chase U. Yeah. Okay. It's cool. I like it. Yeah. Okay. Carmelo Hayes against Ilya Dragunov. World Championship.
Eight.
For the men's title.
On paper, I mean, I know both of those names. It sounds really good. I don't know the story. I could be higher if I knew the story. But fuck, Dragunov? Yeah. Carmelo? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea who to pick to win this
on one. Paper, I'm on an eight. In execution, little things I've noticed. I know it might have been a while ago. They gave Ilya a new... I want to say babyface theme song where it's a lot more sped up and a lot more upbeat as opposed to the original song that was kind of like a good homage to where he's from. The facial hair isn't working. He looks like a freaking avant-garde painter with the freaking mustache and the little bitty beard that like sticks out from here above the chin. They're doing some kind of respect thing that isn't working completely. Tricks in the way. The execution of what I've seen so far, I feel like they could have gone a different direction and gotten me more excited for the match. Mm. You know, I would have rather wanted to see both of them like fight rivals that were bigger than them to kind of put over the fact that they belong there. I mean, Ilya against Bron Breakker for the number one contender was good, but Bron's stuff as a heel, I don't know. There's something in the main card, in the main event scene of NXT is missing. I can't really pinpoint what it is, but there's something there. I mean, the Carmelo as a champ's the right call. It's genuine. He worked his way up. He went from a heel and people respected him to now that they like him and they cheer him.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything different that he didn't do when he was a heel. But now it's just seen in a different light and people like him for it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Something's just missing. I can't put my finger on it. And I don't know if I don't think it's the fact that I haven't been watching consistently for 2 or 3 months is it. There's something there that I just can't put my finger
on. Is it Trick is in the way? Because you said that same phrase a little earlier, but might think that maybe that is the case. I mean, I'm not watching as consistently as you, obviously, but I always thought that Carmelo didn't need somebody else. Especially if you're going to be a babyface. You know, you're a heel that's starting to get cheered. Why do you need somebody to help you cheat?
Not so much cheat. So, like, they had a 6-man tag, and the Carmelo and Ilya won. But during the match, there was some miscommunication, and Ilya accidentally uppercutted Trick. And so even though they won, Trick wants to get at Ilya, and Carmelo's like in between trying to stop it from happening. It just, I don't know, it just, I couldn't digest that.
All right. Weird to me. Well, Arnold says this, Melo versus Dragunov is going to be fire.
Yeah.
All right.
They're going to exceed my expectations.
He said, if you noticed, they're planting seeds for Melo on the main roster. He had a meeting with Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
All right.
They're thinking about, well, the gossip is... Hurt Business 2.0.
Yeah.
With Lashley, Street Profits, and Mello.
Nice.
Yeah. I wouldn't be mad at that.
I wouldn't be mad at that either.
Overall, there's a pre-show. There's an 8-person intermix tag with Noam Dar's group against Nathan Frazier and Dragon Lee and their two women that have been courting them, or they've been courting each other or something. There's going to be an 8-man pre-show tag. Okay. 8-person pre-show tag. Overall, Austin, Road Trip, NXT, TakeOver, Great American Bash.
So on paper, I kind of rated a lot of this stuff kind of low because I don't know what the fuck's going on. Mm-hmm. That being said, I'm excited to go. Anytime that there's been an NXT...
PLE.
Yeah, PLE, thank you. Anytime that there's been an NXT PLE, a lot of times... Live event for anybody. A lot of times we like... rate them down and we're like, I don't know, the build, this and that,
and then
the show is like, oh my god, that was so good. Yeah. That was the best thing ever. And throw on top of that that we're gonna have one of our old school going back in the day going to a road trip together, man. It's been forever since I did that with you, so fuck yeah, I'm excited. So whereas I would probably have been at like a 6 or a 7, I'm at a 9.
Yeah. Traditional Chris fashion. On paper, from what we just went over, solid 7. But I'm going to be there. So you know what that means. Yeah.
It's out of 10.
It's out of 10. Can't wait. Before we go.
Why are y'all talking about Alex Wright? What? I feel like Dragunov is going to become Alex Riley or the dancing German guy from WCW.
Alex Wright.
Alex Wright. Yeah, that guy. Okay. Really? Is that what's happening to Dragunov?
No.
No?
No, not at all. Okay. Quite the opposite.
Is that the...
Got to bring up something else that we didn't get to talk to from NXT. You're doing a pretty good impression, by the way.
Yeah.
So, months of build and backstage video culminated with the commentary putting over the fact
that Von Wagner is going to listen to the people of NXT. And Von Wagner had his first match post-therapy, bringing up the stuff about his father, him growing up as a kid, having his health issues and stuff like that, coming out to a pretty solid babyface reaction and actually winning his match in about 4 minutes. And then after the match was over, the crowd wanted more. They wanted
fucking Hector. Goddamn.
They wanted to put him through the table. And so he obliged. Powerbomb through the table. Booker T gave the most flat, cold-fished, oh no. Before he got put through the fucking table. That's the one time I was like, all right, Book, you're playing that hand very well. Don't listen to him. He went for it anyway. And now, after that spot, he got speared out of it, figuratively, out of his fucking boots by a heel Braun Breaker. Heel Braun Breaker, babyface Von Wagner. Are you ready? Does that tickle any part of your deal
that,
pickle?
That tickles a couple of pickles, but I it's really more for a heel Braun Breaker than it is for what is a Von Wagner.
A heel Braun Breaker is just in black with the word badass in front.
Okay, cool. I don't know anything about Von Wagner.
You have got to keep up with those YouTube it. There's some they put some of those videos, and it's about it being second generation and him being having health issues and his mom passing away or whatever. Mm-hmm. Dude, Shawn Michaels is going to get a fucking Emmy if he makes us cheer fucking Von Wagner, because Von Wagner was a dud. When they first anointed him as like the second coming of this NXT black and gold colors, whatever, when they try to kill the black and gold or whatever. This is the first time that I've actually given some kind of investment and bother to give a damn about Von Wagner. It's actually working. Okay. The videos are working. I'll send you some links to a couple to all refresh right. you. Mm-hmm. Because we might get like a dark match. Maybe we'll get to see either Braun or Wagner wrestle.
Fucking Hector.
I forgot that part. New Japan.
Ah, here we go.
Match of the week picks.
Before we get there, he says Braun Breaker should create the NXT version of NWO.
Hot take.
Uh-huh.
I think Cody Rhodes should revive the legacy and bronze his muscle. Braun's the Batista of Evolution. Braun is the Arn Anderson of the Four Horsemen. Braun is the weight.
You just brought up Legacy, Evolution, and the Four Horsemen.
Cody Rhodes,
Bro, Braun Breaker. Pick a lane.
Cody Rhodes, Braun Breaker, and give me another second generation, third generation guy. That isn't Bloodline. We're not touching that shit. Something. Yeah. Braun as the leader? No.
Dom. Hector says Dom. Take him out of Judgment Day and rip him away from
mommy? That's a divorce that my 8-year-old heart's not ready for.
I'm not ready for that either. Dom and mommy forever.
You know what? I'm jaded. Because I was China and Eddie forever. And I wasn't ready for that to end.
Yeah.
And that you didn't see that coming. And that was fucking gold.
Yeah.
And I didn't think Dom and Mommy would be this good. Now I don't want that to
Carmella?
End.
Carmella? Portia says Carmella.
Carmella's second generation?
Yeah, she is. Her daddy was a jobber in WWE. He was like on Superstars and he would lose... Like, and not like one of the famous jobbers, like fucking Barry Horowitz, right?
Okay.
Arnold says Tessa Blanchard. I don't think WWE Tessa with the 10-foot pole.
No. Or with that duelist bloody fork. she had an injury for a while. I'm not sure if she's back yet. Ellering's girl.
Rachel Ellering.
Yeah, she could work.
Yeah.
Two men and a chick, that would work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Match of the week picks from New Japan. I mentioned this in our chat. Tai Chi versus Ospreay. The storytelling in that match was really good.
Yeah.
Tai Chi's hometown.
getting his butt whipped, but kept bringing some fire. And before you know it, 18 minutes, 19 minutes, holy shit, Tai Chi stole one from Ospreay.
Really?
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I mentioned earlier El Fantasmo against Okada.
What about the newest Uso from Raw? He said he wasn't going to bring up the bloodline, but I do want to talk about that when we're done here. So get your New Japan bullshit out the way to appease Hector, and then we'll get to the ROW.
And myself.
Aye.
Shingo and Eddie Kingston. I know you don't like Eddie.
Fuck Eddie, but Shingo. Ooh.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. It's good stuff so far. I'm only two nights in. I was supposed to have this Saturday off to catch up. That's not the case, but I'll find some time.
Yeah.
And Sunday, obviously, I won't have time Sunday. I'm off. Oh, and I got a half day Monday. I'll figure it out. I'm going to catch up. Yeah. I'm determined.
Ospreay versus Okada. Kingston versus Ishii. Ospreay versus Great Okan. That's what Hector says.
Ospreay versus Okan. Okay. You got my attention. Okay. I want to like this dude. He's got size. He's not like your average.
He had a great time in Vegas.
I don't want to be racist when I say this. Most of the wrestlers' characters in New Japan look the same. Size-wise, height-wise, proportion-wise. Hikuleo and Great Okan, they need to highlight their size and their width to make them stand out from everybody else in that G1.
Okay.
And so if he's saying I have to watch Ospreay and Okan, I'm going to give it a shot.
Okay.
Yeah. Bloodline, Chapter 9. Who is this kid that's in ROW? Is it Omaga's son?
It's one of their kids. I don't know. But his name is Zilla. Zilla Fatu.
I'm a fan already.
So
does he do the yell? The Godzilla yell?
He did a yell. I don't think he did. But
you went to ROW a few weeks ago.
Tell
the listeners.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to get to. If you shut the fuck up.
Ponte la pila.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Umaga's kid. Okay, cool. Umaga's kid. Yeah. Dude, Zilla is like...
That's a badass name.
I know. He's like...
I thought his real name.
Solo, except more muscular, more cut. So, yeah. I was really impressed by him. Because he and Jacob Fatu were both on the card. I had a moment where I doubted myself. I thought Jacob was the new kid that from the bloodline that was having his first match, and Zilla was the one that's been around for a while.
Jacob Fatu's been around for a while. He's been in MLW.
I was wrong.
He's been champ.
Yeah.
Hammerstone beat him after like a year and a half.
I was wrong. That's how good Zilla was.
Wow.
Zilla was good.
So you don't see green.
No.
With Zilla.
No. Like I said, I saw a more muscular, more cut Solo. You know? Nice. Yeah, Solo is thick, but, you know, he's got a little cush to him.
Yeah.
This guy, he was cut. Right? He was cut. He had on his little white jeans, and he was impactful. He was cool, man. He was cool.
What else from ROW?
Hijo de Umaga. No, Hijo de Umaga. I'm surprised his cousins didn't get served with the whole legal thing going about him skimming money. What the fuck are you talking about, Hector? But no, man, ROW Summer of Champions.
Bit of a homecoming for you, right?
Yeah, it was cool. No, it was in Humble.
Humble, it was a Humble City Center.
Yeah. No, it was a really good show, man. They had a big crowd. Hot crowd.
Good for
a
them.
1,000 people there, dude.
What?
They had 1,000 people in attendance. It was really cool. Yeah, they had that place packed the fuck out.
I saw it was sold out, like with a week to go, I think.
Yeah, it was sold out, and they were still selling extra tickets at the door.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was sold out. I want to say standing room, but they had a lot of chairs in there and a lot of people. It was cool, man. There was a ladder match at the beginning. Fucking badass, dude. This kid named Isaac Morales, he was very impressive. He was a referee. So, do you remember they did that a referee gimmick back in PWA days where the ref like jumped the rail and then became a wrestler.
Yeah.
They're kind of doing the same thing with this kid. He was a ref, but now he's transitioning to be a wrestler, right? And he had a really badass match there with the ladder match. It was really good. And then, yeah, the match with Jacob versus Ryan. Fuck, dude, that was a good match, man. Ruthless Ryan Davidson.
Jacob Fatu against Ruthless?
Yes, dude.
Oh.
It was really fucking good. It was a good hard-hitting, hard-slamming match. And then Zilla's match. He fought... there's this duo called the Nature Boys with a Z. I don't know their individual names, but they're like wannabe Ric Flairs, kind of. I was like, whatever with these kids. But, you know, the real impression there was with Zilla. So, yeah, man, it was pretty cool, man. It was a really good show. Really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else before we go? Because I got to pay.
UPW is...
This weekend?
This weekend, Saturday. So, this Saturday, UPW 40. It's going to be in Santa Fe, Texas at the Santa Fe Volunteer Fire Department. The first title defense of Ransom. New UPW heavyweight champion is going to be taking on challenger T-Ray. So, yeah, T-Ray, great guy, great wrestler, hell of an athlete. This is a tall order for Ransom's first title defense. Yeah. Jay Davis, who lost the title to Ransom, is going to have a pretty big challenge himself, especially considering all the bullshit kind of going on with Blade Enterprises, where Johnny Blade may have not accidentally, on purpose, maybe not on purpose, cost Jay the championship by accidentally maybe hitting him with a chair during the match. And Jay Davis and Johnny Blade apparently aren't speaking to each other. According to Facebook, Johnny Blade says, "Hey, Jay, return my calls. Oh, hey, shit. Reply to me. I'm adding you. Hey." So, yeah, Jay doesn't respond. But Jay has a really, really big match against a really, really big guy. Stackhouse.
As soon as you said a really, really big guy. Ka-ching!
Sam Piccolo. That's right.
Wow.
Sam Stackhouse.
The only human I know that can block out the sun.
Yeah, yes. Yes, he is the second coming of Bam Bam Bigelow, which is really cool.
Does he do the cartwheel?
Maybe he has. I don't know. But, yeah, he's just a big, agile guy. So this is going to be the biggest person that I think Jay Davis has fought to date, as far as I know. So, yeah, that's going to be a good match. And then we're going to have Purple Haze. So that's Afro Man Stevie Hendricks and Prince Alexander. They are going to be challenging Manhattan Project for the UPW Tag Team Championships.
Shit, something's going to blow up.
So, yeah, it's going to be Oppenheimer all over
again. Oh, damn.
Yeah, no.
It's going to be raining pink.
Yeah. And Duperon and Sebi are going to be defending the tag team titles. So, awesome. Yeah, it's going to be a great show. We got the return of Chris Lyons, UPW Cruiserweight Champion. The return of Dex Harm, who we haven't seen in a while. The return of former UPW Tag Team Champion El Silencio is making a comeback.
So I bet he has a lot to say.
Yeah. This is going to be a great freaking show. Y'all need to come out on Saturday. This Saturday, Santa Fe, Texas. If y'all can make the drive to pack out the Humble Civic Center and put 1,000 butts in the seats for ROW Summer Air Champions, y'all can make the drive to the other end of town in Santa Fe, Texas to pack out the
To be the honorary Uso and be like topless and put the white tape over your thumb.
Yeah, maybe.
And just random yell. Ah!
Yeah.
And with that,
yep.
That's it.
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Yeah. Woo, your boy gotta go pee.
Dang. Dude, that came out really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, Barbie was that good.
Dude, I fucking loved it. I loved that show.